share a subject with you this morning, and I'm just going to start it out with one verse, and there's three words in this verse that I want, and something that I feel inspired that the Lord wants me to share with you here this morning is the subject of why sleep ye, or be on the alert, stay awake. We're living in perilous times. We're living in hard times. We're living in dangerous times, not just because of all the things that are happening around us. On the news early this morning, and they're about, I think, 3 hours behind us in time, there was a mass shooting out in the state of California, in Southern California, through the night last night while we were sleeping. 10 people were killed, 10 were injured, some not so serious, some very serious. And we're just not talking about things like that, but we need to stay alert. We need to be awake in God. So let's read this verse, and then we'll pray. Luke chapter 22, verse 46, just this one verse here. And it is Jesus, because the words are going to be in red. Some of the children have Bibles, and they like those words that are in red. And said unto them, and it was Jesus, and said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Father, I pray that you will help us today. God, that we will take this word, we'll apply it to ourselves, you'll speak to our hearts. God, we'll be stirred, we'll examine ourselves, we'll see where we fit into the picture today, God. Lord, and help us to be an inspiration to others. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so Jesus, if you go back, I just picked that verse there, but this was near the end of the life of Jesus here upon this earth as he spent those 3.5 years here, and he knew the time of the crucifixion was coming, and he was in the garden praying, and he was getting strength from heaven, and angels came and ministered unto him and strengthened him. And if we don't get anything else out of this today, and I'm not preaching on this today, but there's strength in prayer. It says in verse 43, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. That came because he was praying. I don't think that angel was going to come and strengthen Jesus if he wasn't praying. When you're facing difficult situations in your life, sometimes you might think it's not a blessing, but we're blessed enough to know sometimes that a difficult situation is coming so we can prepare for it. And many times, most of the times, we're not blessed to the point that we know when a difficult situation is going to come. Therefore, it would behoove us to always be of a praying spirit. Have you ever, in your time that you spent with God, have you ever sort of just felt more of an urgency? I really need to pray today. And you don't have anything particular in mind. You just feel a real drawing to prayer. And you go into prayer and you feel something really special going on in your life. It could be also that God sends an angel from heaven onto you to strengthen you, and then as your testimony would go, as you have felt those moments in your life and you spent that special time with God, you felt a real refreshing come from heaven that you were strengthened, and then after the fact you faced a very difficult situation in your life. Why did God do that? Because God's a God of mercy and a God of love, and God knew what was going to come down the pike for you that week, that month, that year, and he wanted to strengthen you to be able to stand in the battle that you were going to face. And so he strengthened Jesus here. And then in verse 44, even after he was strengthened, he was in an agony. And what did he do when he was in an agony? He prayed more earnestly. He prayed more earnestly when he felt the reality of the situation hitting him. He felt the load of it falling upon him. It was just an agonizing thing. It was a pain that was coming over his heart. His heart was about to be broken, and he was feeling that coming on, and he didn't give up. He prayed more earnestly. What do you do? What do you feel when you feel your heart is about to break? When things aren't going the way that you expected that they would go, it feels like you've been putting in a vice, and the vice is tightening down on you, and you feel like you're just about to the end of your road. We need to take the example of Jesus. When the heat was on, he prayed more earnestly. He felt something in his spirit. spirit, something big is coming, something that I really don't want to face, I really don't want to go through it. Amen. He turned and he prayed more earnestly. Amen. So much so that his sweat became, as it were, drops of blood falling down to the ground. So he really had the burden of the Lord upon him. Amen. For a situation that was about to unfold. And those around him had no clue what was going on. And he went up and he got up from that place of prayer and he went to his disciples and he found them sleeping. For sorrow is why they were sleeping, because Jesus had talked to them about what was going to happen, but he found them sleeping. Have you ever faced a situation in your life and God has really stirred your spirit up in an area and you're earnestly praying and seeking God and nobody else has caught the vision? It seems like you're standing all alone. Nobody's there with you. And that's how Jesus felt. And then he went on to them, and they had to wake him up, because then he said those words to him, "Why sleep ye?" Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord today, there are many Christian folks that are asleep spiritually. They have fell asleep behind the wheel. Amen. The wheel of the vehicle, if you want to look at it that way. They're just on autopilot. They think they're just going to float into heaven, that everything's going to be okay. But the Word of God instructs us, the valiant, amen, those that honor God, they're going to take it by force. You're going to have to stand up for it. You're going to have to fight for righteousness. You're going to have to fight for truth. Amen. It's not time to be asleep. It's time for us to be awake. Amen. We need to be awake spiritually. Are you awake today? Do you realize what's happening in the spiritual world around you? Amen. There's evil spirits. There's spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen. The devil is plotting to destroy. Amen. To kill and to steal and to destroy. And then we're just sleeping. Amen. There's many people that just take their ease in Zion. Oh, the Lord has blessed me. God's been so good to me. I'm just going to go on a vacation. You should never go on a spiritual vacation. Amen. Never go on a spiritual vacation. Well, I'm just not going to pray as much as I should pray. I'm not going to read God's word as much as I know I should read God's word. I'm just going to be okay because I know I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. Whatever happens in this world, it is what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. And we become passive in our walk with God. We need to be very careful that we don't become passive with our walk in God, because if we do, we can fall into a spiritual slumber and sleep, and we don't realize the severity of the situation and the attack of the enemy that is out there. And now if you'll turn over to Matthew 24. So the question that Jesus had here, Matthew chapter 13. The question that Jesus had here is, why sleep ye? Why do you sleep? Why do you think it's okay to just float your way into heaven? There's nobody that's going to float their way into heaven. If you're going to make heaven your home, you're going to have to fight for it. Amen. But God is there to help us. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If you're going to make heaven your home, you have to be determined. You're going to have to fight for it. Because if you don't fight for it, what do you have to do to get into hell? Absolutely nothing. Just go with the status quo. Just do what everybody else does. And you're on that broad way. And Jesus talked about that. It's a way that leads on to destruction. It's not a good way. But if you want to make it to heaven, you have to turn around. And you have to go against the current, because the current is ever taking us downward and lower into doom and despair. And everybody's going that way. Amen. Just because everybody's going in a certain direction doesn't make it right. But people have been lulled to sleep spiritually, because some people think they have come to a point spiritually where I have arrived, I have a good understanding of this, and they close their ears to any teaching, any preaching of God's word, and they're not open to be taught. We should always be open to take the teaching of the word of God. God. And it's not just the way I teach it or say it. It's the way that God inspires and anoints others. Amen. Because God loves us and he wants us to walk in his way. So in Matthew chapter 13, this is the parable of the wheat and the tares. And we're just going to read verses 24 and 25. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But here we go again, the subject we're talking this morning. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Amen. This is like the kingdom of heaven in verse 24. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this. A man, he sowed good seed in his field. You're today, each of us have a field, and I hope that you're sowing good seed in the field where God has placed you. Amen. God has placed us all in strategic points. You have contacts with people that I don't. I have contacts with people that you don't. But if we all do what we're supposed to do and we sow seed in that field, how are we sowing seed? One of the ways to sow seed is by living the Christian life. Another way to sow seed is to invite them to church. Another way to sow seed is to talk to them about spiritual things, to talk to them about the current events that are going on in our world. My, what opportunities we have to witness for God. But we do that, and we go out and we do our due diligence, but then we have to be careful, because if we're not careful, we'll do what they did here in verse 25. But while men slept, you just can't go out there and do your thing one time and then just step back and think, I put the word out there. And we're so naive at times. We take the word of God, but we don't take the whole word of God. We take bits and pieces of the word of God, and we have to take the whole word of God and rightly divide it. But we like to think, well, I went out there and I sowed the seed, and does the scripture not say that his word's not going to return unto him void? Whatever God's word is set out to do, he's going to accomplish that. Yes, the word of God says that, but God's word also teaches us that when we're sharing this gospel, we need to be persistent. Amen. We need to go after people. Amen. You need to set sights on somebody. When we sing that song, God, lay some soul upon my heart. Amen. And the song goes on, and the gist of it is that I might touch that soul, that I might win that soul for you. How do people come into the kingdom of God? It's by one person at a time. Oh, the opportunity that you're going to have to leave 5 or 10 to the Lord at the same time is slim. It's a very slim possibility that you'll have that opportunity, but you're going to be able to win people to Jesus one person at a time. And so you go out there and you do all of this hard work. And what did this man do? He slept, and his enemy came, which was Satan the devourer. Amen. And he didn't wipe the crop out. He doesn't come out and take the crop and wipe it out. And so what we do is we go out there and we sow the seeds of truth. And then you can be guaranteed the enemy's going to come, as he did in verse 25, and he's going to sow tares among the wheat. And if we look at these tares and what it speaks about, it's something. It's a plant that looks just like wheat. But yet when it starts growing, it begins to grow faster than what the wheat does. It looks more healthy, and it creates a shadow. It out-towers the wheat, and it looks like the right and good thing. But when the harvest comes, it's not good. Amen. He sowed tares and went his way. And so the enemy comes in the hard work that you've done on trying to win other people to Christ, out there trying to give the truth to this world and let them know. The devil follows behind, and he begins to try to plant seeds of doubts in people's hearts. And why does he do that? Because he was given the opportunity to do it. The one that sowed the seed went back and took his ease and thought, now the seed's just going to grow. I don't have to do anything else about it. If you're going to win a soul for Christ, you have to be persistent. Amen. You can't fall asleep at the wheel. Amen. If we look at these verses. There's a lot to unpack here. Amen. So first, we need to be sowers of good seed in our fields where God has placed you. What kind of seed are you sowing? Amen. You can look at the adult lesson that we had this morning. There was about 7 different kinds of seeds there that those 10 spies were sowing, and they weren't good seeds. I don't want to sow seeds of doubt and unbelief. I don't want to have a pessimistic spirit. I don't want to have an unbelieving spirit. And so you need to see what kind of seed are you sowing. Are you sowing a good seed today? Sowing seed, it's hard work. Amen. It's hard work to sow the seed. The farmers that are going to sow seed this spring that's coming up rapidly, it'll be here. They're already thinking about it. They're getting their soil tested. They're going to figure out what type of seed, what type of fertilizer they need to put in that field. Whenever it's time to plant the seed into the field, they just don't go out there on a sunny day and say, oh, this is what we're going to throw in there and we're going to hope for good results. There's a lot of planning that goes into it. And so after they plant the seed, amen, what happens to a farmer? If you just planted a little garden and you do those, you don't try to plant seed on a rainy day. You try to do it on a nice day, and there's work involved in it. There's a tiredness that comes with natural planting. You get tired. You plant that seed, you're tired. And so the temptation becomes to take a rest. Amen. And take your ease in Zion. You deserve it. And what the enemy does, we go out there, we do so much for God, but then the pride of life begins to overtake us, and we start to have a sense of self-accomplishment. I invited this many people to church. I made this many phone calls. I passed out this many tracts. I'm doing my due diligence. And then we begin to take an ease in Zion. We have that pride of life, that self-accomplishment. Amen. It becomes easy. Amen. If you're not busy for the Lord, if you're not busy for the Lord, you're going to fall asleep spiritually and you're going to become distracted with other things. Other things are going to fill your life. It's either going to be God things or it's going to be things of this world. And we need to not fall asleep spiritually. We become distracted with other things. Amen. And then we fall into a slumber, into a spiritual sleep. And we're not really aware of the spiritual wickedness in high places. And then the fiery darts start coming our way. And we're like, woe is me. There's no hope for me. Why? Because we fell into a spiritual slumber and sleep. And so the message this morning is this: be careful that you're not falling into a spiritual slumber and sleep. Oh, I don't want to do that. Nobody intends to do that, but people do that. Why? Because they're not guarding the seed that has been planted in their own hearts or the seeds that they have planted in other people's hearts. You got to guard this gift of salvation that's been given to you. You got to guard those seeds that God has planted in your heart. Because if you give the enemy the opportunity, he's going to plant tares even within us. And he's all the time trying to plant seeds of doubt and unbelief. It really doesn't mean it that way. It's not really that serious. It's okay if you lighten up a little bit in the way that you're living. And those are seeds, those are tares that the enemy has planted in our heart. And how is the enemy able to do that? Because we have fallen asleep spiritually. If we fall asleep spiritually, the enemy is going to attack. He's going to take advantage of that situation. We have to stay awake. And so I talked about a little bit already. What are these tares? They are weeds that resemble wheat. And so in this parable that we're reading here in Matthew 13, the enemy deliberately polluted the wheat field with tares, and nobody knew it. They only realized it when the plants begin to grow. We must guard ourselves. We must guard our field. If you want to look at it this way, we're all a garden before the Lord. What kind of seeds are you going to allow to be planted in your life? Some people allow seeds of doubt and unbelief to be planted. It's not really so. The scripture doesn't really mean it that way. It's not important that you give tithes and offerings. It's not important that you're in church when the church doors are open. In fact, where in God's word does it say that we need to assemble in God's house? And there's all kinds of other things that you could add in there. Let the Lord speak to your heart this morning. Are you allowing yourselves, amen, to be filled filled up with things, amen, that are not according to God's word. Amen. But what must we do? We have to guard ourselves. We have to guard ourselves. We must stay awake. We must stay alert. We must be aware of our spiritual surroundings, because the enemy's trying to get a foot in the door. He's trying to get a foot into your life. He's trying to get a hold on you. And if you fall into a spiritual slumber and sleep, you will fall prey to the enemy. We like to grab those scriptures. Look, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. That is all true, but you have to stay awake spiritually. You have to be aware of your surroundings. You have to be aware of what's going on. You have to guard yourselves. Amen. Many Christians are in a spiritual slumber and sleep. Spiritual slumber and sleep. They don't give much care about what's going on in this world. All they know is, I have Jesus in my heart, and when I quit breathing, or if my life is taken from me, or Jesus comes, I know I'm going to heaven, and that's all that matters. There's no interest in missions. There's no interest in the needs of others. They probably think it's a waste of time to take prayer requests at church. It is what it is. It's useless and senseless to pray. People have fallen into spiritual slumbers and sleep. Amen. That pride of life has taken over them. They feel good about themselves. That self-dependence. I can do this. I got this figured out. We need to be careful. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. And I'm going to turn over there. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13. I have something to say to us about this morning. Proverbs 20:13 says this, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. Don't love sleep. Even natural sleep, too much of it's not good for you. It's not good for you naturally. It's not good for your health. It's not good for your body. But spiritual sleep is worse. Don't love that spiritual sleep. You're going to come to a poverty spiritually. You're going to need God in your life, and he's not going to be anywhere to be found. We need to stay awake spiritually. Amen. We don't want to fall into a slumber or sleep. In a comparison that we're going to draw here, there was a church that was talked to in the book of Revelations chapter 3. If you want to turn over there, you can. Amen. This was the church at Sardis. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 1 tells this, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Church at Sardis was alive, but yet it was dead. How, you might ask, how is that possible? How can something be alive, but yet dead? It's talking spiritually. They were alive. They were doing something for God. There was a lot of movement going on, but they were dead. Amen. And how can that happen to us? You're alive, but you're dead. You're in a church service, but you're dead spiritually. You're here, but you're not really hearing what's being said. You're listening, but you're not really hearing what's being said. You're in God's house. Amen. That's being alive, but yet dead spiritually. You're active in the church. You're active in what you're doing in your life. There's a lot of activity and action going on, but there's no spiritual results. There's no spiritual victories that are being won. There's no testimonies that you're bringing back where you had an opportunity to witness to somebody about Jesus, to pray for somebody. Listen, you can lay your hands on somebody that's sick and they can recover, and you can come back to the church with a testimony. Hey, I was out this week and I faced this situation. I laid my hands on somebody and they recovered. And the pride of life isn't taken over. You're not coming back bragging about it, but you're alive spiritually. So this church at Sardis was alive, but it was dead. They were there, but they didn't have any harvest. And how does a spiritual slumber happen? Amen. How does a spiritual slumber come upon somebody? Because that's the danger. Remember, I might have taken the words a little bit off context, but the first words I read that Jesus spoke to his disciples, why sleep ye? And he says to us today, and if the shoe fits, wear it. Put it on. Why do you sleep? Why have you fallen into this slumber? Something you used to really believe, now it's like, well, I guess I was just radical before. I was just caught up in the moment. And we can give a lot of reasons and excuses of why we change the way that we have done things in the past or we don't do it anymore. But be careful that you haven't fallen into a spiritual slumber. You have chosen to go that way because I haven't used this word yet, I don't think, but you have become lazy spiritually. What does your spiritual man look like? Does he look like the comparison we'll make, does your spiritual man look like a starving person? He's just starving. He's just, you don't know if he's going to be alive yet tomorrow. He's just barely holding on. And you think about the analogy that you can make there, the comparison. Your spiritual man, how does it look compared to the natural man? Does it look fit? It's built. It's got muscle. It's got strength. It's got power. It's got something like nobody's going to come and take you on. And then you can have the other extreme too. If you fall into a spiritual slumber and sleep where you're just obese spiritually. You're just a spiritual mess. You're just so full of spiritual things in God, but you're just so lazy. You can't get anything out to help anybody. You can't do anything, but boy, you have an answer for everything. We fall into spiritual slumber, and one of the easiest ways we do that is by unbelief. We just don't believe what the Word of God says. God said it, that settles it. It's not God said it, I believe it. God said it, that settles it. We don't want to fall into unbelief. We have to believe the entire Word of God. Another reason people fall into spiritual slumber and sleep is because they're not into the Word of God like they need to be into the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. If your sleep doesn't come to you easily, or you wake up in the middle of the night and you have one of these, most of us do, there's audio Bibles. You can get on there and tune in the Word of God and just lay there in your bed while you're awake. Listen to the Word of God being read. I don't know how it happens, but it will build faith in your heart. It will help you not to fall into a spiritual slumber. Amen. And sin can cause us to fall into a spiritual slumber. If you're dabbing into something that's not right and pleasing to God, that can cause a spiritual slumber and blindness to fall upon you where you can't really see the truth. And you begin to justify the things that you involve yourself in, then you fall into a spiritual slumber and sleep. And so how can we wake up? And if we look at this church in Sardis, we're gonna find out how we can wake up spiritually and how they woke up. Verses 2 and 3, be watchful. Strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come as on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So how do we do it? We go back to verse 2 here. We have to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain within us. Maybe you're not what you used to be spiritually, but whatever there is left in you of the spirituality and what God has done for you, you need to start to be watchful, to watch so the enemy doesn't take that, and to strengthen the things that remain within you, the good points, the spiritual points, work on them. Amen. And so we have to be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Amen. And don't be sorrowful for the losses. Well, I'll never be what I was in God. I'll never be able to do what God really wanted me to do. Don't dwell on that. You got to go with what you have. The little that was left at Sardis, it said it was about to die. Amen. And there's some of us spiritually, the little bit that's left within us, if we're not careful, it's going to die. You got to batten the hatches, as they say. And that's something that they use in the language in the boats and that. Amen. And how do we do that? Amen. The little that's left, whatever's left within you, you have to give a daily Bible reading. You can do a devotional on your phone. You can fellowship with other believers and et cetera, so on. You have to batten the hatches. Amen. You have to have a devotional. You have to have a daily Bible reading. You got to get a hold of God. Amen. Lest he slips away from you. Amen. The next thing that we can do to wake up is we have to open our eyes. Amen. And it says this in the verse that we read here. Amen. In verse 4, In verse 3 it was, we have to open our eyes unless we'll fall into temptation. Whenever we're asleep naturally, our eyes are shut and our body's inactive. It should be. I mean, some people wake up in the morning, and man, I remember one, it's a little side story. We was in the Dominican Republic, me and Brother Vitalio. I don't know who else was on that trip. We rented a motel room up in Monte Cristi, and the ladies were after us after the fact, because I have a picture somewhere. We each had our own bed, but man, that bed, it looked like somebody had a fight on that bed. The bottom sheet was off of it. Everything was just all twisted and wrapped up. And so when we're sleeping, generally speaking, we're inactive. So my point that I'm making here, sometimes when we're sleeping, we're even thrashing about. Maybe it's because of the food we ate or whatever. Okay? But we need to open our eyes or we'll fall into temptation. And so when sleeping, when you sleep, your eyes are shut, the body's inactive. When we're sleeping spiritually, our spiritual eyes are shut and we're inactive spiritually. And how do you know that? Are we just going through the motions? You're just here. You don't really feel much. Somebody else is getting blessed and you look and you don't say it, hopefully you don't, but you look and think, wow, that's a little bit radical. What are they getting so excited about? You know, the old timers, they'd get up and somebody would take off running around the church. Somebody would get up and just sort of do a slow dance around the church. There would be a movement of the Spirit of God would move upon them. And you look at that and you think, well, they must just be showing off. They're trying to get people to think how spiritual they are. Be careful that you're not falling into a spiritual slumber. Does God ever move upon you and you just feel so emotional? You got to do something. You have to let it out some way. So you got to open your eyes. Do you find yourself being distracted with things that you did before you were a Christian? Now all of a sudden, maybe that wasn't so wrong. Maybe I was a little bit radical with this. Maybe the church misled me. Maybe it's really not that big of a deal. Maybe it's okay if I really do this thing. You suddenly find yourself distracted with things that you have left off since you became a Christian. You're falling into a spiritual slumber. You need to wake yourself up. You have to wake yourself up. Amen. Spiritual sleep. Luke 22:46. We read that. Jesus says to his disciples, why do you sleep? And then he says, rise and pray. And if you don't, you're going to fall into temptation. When you're down spiritually, what happens? Amen? When we're down spiritually, this is what we try to do. First sign you're down spiritually, you start to take the look of mind over matter. There's no spirituality involved in it. There's no God thing involved in this. We try to control situations with our mind. We try to control our thoughts. We try to control our temptations by my own power that's within me. I just know what I should do. I can do this. But do you know what? If you try to go that way, your mind is going to fail you. We have to wake up. We have to open our eyes. And we have to build ourselves up spiritually. God wants us to be spiritually strong. In Revelation chapter 3, and then the third verse there, he said something to them. Remember Revelation 3, amen, I was thinking it was 3:3. But we have to hold fast and repent. That's what he told the church at Sardis. Hold fast to what you got. Don't feel bad. If you've lost some spiritual ground, you can lament that a little bit, but don't camp out there. Don't think, I'll never be able to do anything for God. Yes, you can still do something for God. You have to move forward from where you are. Amen. And you have to hold fast, and you have to have a change of mind. And if we have a change of mind, it will cause a change in our actions. We're going to start acting differently. Then all of a sudden, we're going to stop doing the things that led us away from God, and we're going to start to focus on what brings us closer to God. What actions am I permitting and allowing in my life that's taking me away from God? That's what you have to examine. That's how you'll know if you're falling into a spiritual slumber and sleep. And here's the bottom line. You are all responsible for yourselves spiritually. Oh, you're the pastor. I thought you were responsible for me. No, every one of you, myself included, is going to stand before God. I'm not going to stand before God with you. I'm not going to be your defense saying, no, God, you don't get it. I know them really well. This is how their heart is. No, we're going to stand before God for ourselves. We are responsible for ourselves. And that's where this scripture fits in. It's one that people like to use a lot of times out of context, but this is where it comes in. If you're going to stay awake spiritually and not sleep, you need to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Like, God, can I really do this? I know that I can. Your word says that I can. I have a great respect for you. You said in your word not to do thus and so. I'm not even going to debate that with you. I'm just going to stay away from it. I'm going to do what pleases you. I'm going to work out that salvation. And so in Revelation chapter 3, we get down to verses 4 and 5. He told them to keep the garments clean. Amen. The garments clean. Your garments that you are wearing spiritually are what people see. What do people see in you? And what do they see in you? The biggest thing is your behaviors. They see your behaviors. Keep your garments clean. Keep your behaviors clean before God. Live a holy life. Shun the wrong and do the right. The song says, I know the Lord will make a way for me. So if you live that holy life, it will help you be spiritually awake, which will equals meaning you can be an overcomer. Then that scripture that's used, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And then it finishes up in chapter 3 and verse 6. Hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And in essence, what the Spirit is saying, be spiritually awake. Are you spiritually awake today? Where is the enemy trying to gain a foothold in your life? Well, he's not. You're not spiritually awake. If we self-examine ourselves, the enemy is trying to gain a foothold in every one of our lives. Nobody's excluded. Well, I'm a Christian. He can't do anything to hurt me. That's true. But he's trying. And he wants to lullaby us to sleep. He wants to pat you on the back. You're doing such a good job. You really love the Lord. You're faithful. You do this. You do that. He lulls us to sleep and he gets a foothold in the door. And he is trying to do that to every one of us. We have to be spiritually awake. We have to examine areas in our own life. And I need to also, where am I spiritually dead? I'm just sort of a deadhead there. I don't have it going on. And so God's going to help us to wake up where we are lacking. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to pray, God, help me to wake up where I'm lacking. And don't think, I'm not lacking anywhere. I don't know who he's preaching this to. Who does he think we are? Don't think that way. God, help me to wake up where I'm lacking. I might not even realize where I'm lacking. Bring it to my knowledge. Amen. And then, if we are awake spiritually, then we like these sermons. Then we can become a David. Then we can become one of the three Hebrew children. Then we can become a Daniel. Then we can become, some people might dispute this, but we can become a Peter. We can walk on the water. We can do great things for Christ. We can do that. Amen. And so we need to be ready to rise up and to believe God for a movement here in Cane Pier where we live. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. If you're awake spiritually this morning, you need to believe God, that God is going to rise up. Amen. God has already risen up, but we're believing God for a move in Cane, PA, in our generation. Some will say, well, yeah, sometime it's going to happen. We're just here now, biding our time. It's good. We need to see it in our day. We need to see it in our generation where this church is filled up. I remember times, amen, in years gone by where this church was filled up. There were people standing in the back where we hang our coats, and there was a lot of young people coming to the church. There was a lot of movement happening going on, and I'm not saying that we did something wrong, but what happened to that? Where is that? Amen. It can only be because we became self-satisfied. So this morning, take a moment of time, amen, and ask God, Lord, is there an area in my life where I am becoming spiritually dead? God, what area in my life, if you don't already know, what area in my life, where is the devil trying to get his foot in the door? Where is he trying to get in spiritually at me? Father, in the name of Jesus, minister unto us this morning, God. Help us to see with those spiritual eyes, God. Help us to see with the eyes that you have, Lord, that we'll be well aware where the enemy's trying to get a foothold in our lives, God, that we won't fall asleep into a spiritual slumber, into a spiritual sleep. God, where that pride of life takes over, we're so feeling so good about ourselves, God, but we're dead spiritually. God, help us to be alive in you. God, that which remains within us, God, Lord, that you will breathe life into it in the name of Jesus. God, that we can see a move of God in the generation that we're living, in the town that we're living, God. It's not something that's always future, God, but this can be the day that it can break forth in the name of Jesus. Speak to our hearts today, God. Minister unto us, God. Lord, help us to examine ourselves, God, to see where we stand in this, God. Is there anything in my life, God, where I am being lullabied to sleep by the enemy of my soul? Oh, God, let me be aware of this, God. Change my way of thinking. Change my heart, God. Lord, that there be a fire burning down in my heart and in my soul. God, that I'll have a zeal to see people coming into the kingdom of God. Lord, that I won't be rocked to sleep, Lord, by the ways of this world. God, that I'll stand up for righteousness and holy living, God. Strengthen us this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Each one, pray. Just take a moment of time. God, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I don't want to be like those 10 virgins in Matthew 25. I don't want to be falling asleep, Lord. And ultimately, if we're asleep spiritually, God, your word tells us that when you return, there's going to be some that don't go. Why? Because they fell asleep spiritually, God. Lord, help us to wake up, God. Lord, wake up spiritually, Lord, that we can see what's going on, God. In the name of Jesus, we come against the power of enemy today. In the name of the Lord, the fiery darts, the spiritual wickedness in high places that put so many people to sleep that they think they're okay when they're really not. What a dangerous position to be in. Help us, God. Lord, draw us by your Spirit. Draw us closer to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for it today, God. Lord, let a man examine himself to see whether he be in the faith, oh God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Jesus. Amen. Your faith, your communication with the Lord. Amen. Your closeness to the Lord. It's not about the things that you do for God. It's all about the relationship that you have with him. That personal relationship with him. That's what it's all about. You can do all kinds of things for God, but not really have that relationship with him like he wants to have with you. God, we need that. If we have that relationship with him like he wants, you will not fall asleep spiritually. But we get sidetracked with what we're doing for him, and we forget that we need to have that relationship with him. God, help us today. Minister unto us. God, thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. In closing, let's just sing a couple times. I think maybe she was playing it, or maybe she wasn't playing this one. But the move is on, my Lord. The move is on. I can hear the rustling in the mulberry trees. I know, I know, I know the move is on.